is Express FM. Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately pumping.
Begins, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Hughes Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The first month of the season has come to an end, with the Blues sat fifth in the League One table after five games. The summer transfer window has also reached its conclusion. Academy graduate Hadji Manoga signed a new three-year deal at Fratton Park. He's been speaking about his long-term ambitions.
I've always wanted to play for Portsmouth, play for the first team, and I think that's what I'm definitely going to be looking to do, because every time I put the shirt on, I tried to play with pride, I tried to give 110%.
With no game to preview tonight, attention turns to review Danny Cowley's summer transfer window and also the first month of this new season. As always, back home, Pompey fans listening, we want you to get in touch tonight. All the usual ways can be found on our website, expressfm.com. How have you rated the Blues' start to the new campaign? And would you have preferred to see a few more new faces in through the door on deadline day on Tuesday? Sam Macy and Matt Corrick are waiting to join me on this evening's show. So without further ado, you're listening to Express FM and this is the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to Friday. Welcome to the Football Hour on Express FM. Tonight, I'm going to be joined alongside Sam Macy and Matt Corrick to review the events of Pompey's opening month of the new season, August 2021. Five league matches and one Carabao Cup fixture have come and gone. And of course, there's the small matter of Tuesday's deadline day. Pompey brought in one new face and also sent out a youngster on loan to National League outfit Bromley. We'll find out who that is later on in the show. But with no game to review, no game to preview, we've not got a whole lot to talk about tonight. Oh, wow. Actually, no, that is where you are wrong, because we've got so much to delve into this evening between now and 7 o'clock. And as always, we want you back home, the Pompey fans, to get in touch with us tonight. All the usual ways. It's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. You can text your name and message to 81400, starting those with the word Express. Email Pompey at ExpressFM.com or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. So let's get straight into it, shall we? First of all, we're going to review the events of Pompey's August, the first month of this new League One season. And just to jog your memories, here's how it all unfolded right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey in that change kit going from left to right in this first 45 minutes. Fleetwood traditional home kit. And we are underway, and it is loud in Highbury Stadium as Fleetwood send the ball long. There's always this blustery wind here. Raggett wins a header, comes off the Fleetwood captain Rossiter, and out for a corner. Brown trying to get back, Morrison to the near post, real chance, desperate defending from Freeman, denies the opportunity, Fleetwood still have it in the penalty area, still danger for Pompey, cross comes in, blocked high in the air, headed to the 6-yard box, and Raggett volleys away, and the warning signs are there for Pompey, 0-0. Yeah, played in towards the near post, loose chance, great save, fast, follow up, wonderful challenge by Raggett, goal saving challenge, corner kick, still 0-0. And Curtis lining up his run, four paces. In it comes, Curtis shoots, over the wall, hits the bar and over, and lands on the top of the stand and bounces back down. The closest Pompey have come by some distance. Right. Harnesses cross to the near post, it was missed by Clark. Marcus didn't gamble, now it's there again. Tunnicliffe to the far post to Curtis, it'll fall to Brown, on his left foot, Brown, he's scored! Lee Brown! Celebrating front to the Pompey fans! An unlikely scorer! An undeserved goal! But Pompey ahead in the second. second half. Fleetwood 0, Portsmouth 1. And Pompey might have a break on here. And Curtis could be away. Can Rico Hackett Fairchild play it to him? He's made a mess of it. But Curtis has picked it up and offside. What an absolute waste of a 2-on-1. And Portsmouth have blown a brilliant chance. And the whistle goes. And Portsmouth start the season with a victory on the road here at Fleetwood. They were very much second best in the first half. But they have come back and Lee Brown's strike, virtually their only shot on target in the game. The difference between the two sides. 3 points for Portsmouth here at the Highbury Stadium. It has finished. Fleetwood Town 0, Portsmouth 1.
I think football's missed the fans, especially Portsmouth. Over the last 18 months, it's been a morgue at times. When you score, it's not very nice, but it's so much nicer. Just a little bit more atmosphere. I think we've missed a massive year. I'm glad they're back.
We've done really, really well to come through a really tricky game for us, and certainly wasn't the way that we wanted to play. But when you only have one midfielder in your whole squad, you have to kind of adapt and be a little bit more pragmatic. And we did that. We changed the shape at half time and just matched them up in 3-4-3. And I'm really proud of the players.
London calling for Pompey fans. Midweek away nights back for the Blue Army. And those who are gathered to our left, I was going to say sat, but there's not many of them sat down, are enjoying their evening so far. Aaron are in fine voice ahead of this League Cup first round tie between Millwall and Portsmouth here at the Den. Hackett Fairchild can hit it from distance and he scored! Rico Hackett Fairchild, his first Portsmouth goal. He slammed it in from outside the penalty area with his left foot, deceiving George Long on his Millwall debut. That's only going to make the Pompey fans to our left even louder. 4 minutes on the clock, Millwall 0, Portsmouth 1. Williams always sensibly pulled out the challenge. Wallace across goal, loose, great chance for Millwall, equaliser. Scott Malone, five-minute effort after Bass could only palm it back into the body of the penalty area. Still the chance for Millwall, cross into the middle, loose, shot, goal. George Saville has turned it round for Millwall, and it's Jed Wallace again causing problems for Pompey. It's Millwall 2, Portsmouth 1. As Callum Johnson flies into a challenge, and it's a red card to Callum Johnson, and he can't believe it. And the Portsmouth spell in the League Cup this year is a brief one. They've been beaten 2-1 here by Millwall.
I don't really see it as a step down coming to Pompey, to be honest. The opportunity to play for a club like this is something that was too good to turn down, really.
It's always a tough place to come when you're on the opposing teams. It's an extremely passionate fan base and one that any player at Portsmouth is fortunate to be a part of.
Football has been a pretty pointless exercise with no supporters inside grounds. It's been pretty bland. The players need a crowd to thrive on, and we all know how atmospheric Fratton Park is. What a difference that crowd can make to the home team. So really exciting, and we just can't wait to get going on Saturday.
It's amazing how something that once seemed so normal can suddenly feel so special. Fratton Park in the sunshine, filled with Pompey supporters. As we get ready to get things underway, the whistle goes and the ball is lifted forward by Crewe. Header won by Kieran Freeman for Portsmouth. Tunnicliffe driving forward. Good run this from Tunnicliffe into the area to Marquis. Marquis Hackett Fairchild in the middle, but Marquis scores himself in off the post in front of the Fratton end. John Marquis with a precise finish. And in the third minute of the second half, Pompey are ahead. Portsmouth 1, Crewe 0. Five arriving in the train formation, coming in towards the edge of the six-yard box. Header is in the net, but the flag goes up against John Marquis and it won't count. Tunnicliffe brings it down, looking in the area for Harness. Harness across, goal and in! Marquis Harness has scored. Goes straight through the goalkeeper and Pompey double their lead. It's been coming. Portsmouth huffing and puffing in the first half. They've had to wait till the second to blow the Crewe door down as the full-time whistle goes at Fratton Park. Portsmouth have beaten Crewe Alexander by 2-0.
We showed some good play this week. We've still got lots to do before we can become that kind of well-oiled machine. But, yeah, definitely steps in the right direction. An important win, which means a good start to the season. We've got to now back that up on Tuesday at home to Shrewsbury.
Fratton Park under the lights with fans in. How we have missed it and how so many are looking forward to returning to their old seats to hopefully watch Portsmouth make it 3 wins from 3. And it might sound a simple statistic, but it's something they have managed just once in 33 years. Tunnicliffe just turns it around the corner, looking for Harness. Harness will get the second ball outside the box to Tunnicliffe. Chance for Tunnicliffe. Deflected shot into the net. First Pompey goal for Ryan Tunnicliffe. He's been magnificent in his opening 3 matches in his Pompey career. Now he has a goal to show for his efforts. And Portsmouth ahead inside 3 minutes. Portsmouth 1, Shrewsbury 0. Pompey have it through Marquis in the Shrewsbury. Penalty error goes down under the challenge from Pierre. Referee not interested and it's cleared away. Udo, he's threatening to take a shot from a wide angle, loose outside the box. Vela's shot, good save for Zuno. Oh, Marquis is given away in the area. Chip to the far post. Header is saved brilliantly by Zuno. And Ogilvie clears away. And Trevor Kettle decides that will do. The whistle goes. Portsmouth have won 3 games in a row to start the season for just the second time in 33 years. Another win, another clean sheet. 9 points for Danny Cowley's team to start the season. Portsmouth have beaten Shrewsbury by a goal to nil.
We lost some control in the second half. I think if we're honest, we're pleased with the resilience we showed, but we need to play better than that if we want to achieve what we want to this season.
Doncaster, 1 goal. 0 points to show for their efforts so far. But if only life was quite that simple, and Portsmouth know there are no guarantees this afternoon. Here's close in the area for Doncaster, pulls it back. Wonderful save for Zuno, must be. Flag up, goal won't count. Still there for Pompey in the area. Jacobs to hit it. Jacobs shot, great save. Wonderful save from Dalberg. Pompey corner. Long looking for Adamy. He's completely free if he can bring it down. He chests it down, there's a chance. Great block. Williams is looking for his first Portsmouth goal, and what a chance he has from the penalty spot. He's going to strike it with his left foot. Williams saved by Goldberg, down to his right, and he gathers at the second attempt. It's still 0-0. Raga, as usual, in the same place, loose in the penalty area, driven into the ground, and Mizuno tips over the bar, and Doncaster coming close but getting a corner. That's the final action of this game, and Portsmouth's 100% record is over in League One, but they have still not conceded a goal. They've had to settle for a 0-0 draw with Doncaster Rovers here at the Keep Moat Stadium.
For me, it's the performance, and you've got to play well for 90 minutes, and we didn't today. We didn't play well for long enough in the game to earn the luck and the moments that you need to be able to win. So we've got a lot to do. We're still sort of 3 players short if we want to be where we want to be.
And here we go, the first big test for Danny Cowley's Portsmouth here in League One. And the ball immediately back with Kieran Freeman, who saw his backup right back, Callum Johnson, leave early this week. Long ball down the right-hand side and out for a Pompey throw. Keane comes down the touchline, and here's Jones. This is dangerous for Pompey. Jones trying to break into the penalty area, twisting one way than the other. Oh, great from Jones. Jones goes to ground. No penalty, says the referee. And through to Bizunu and Richardson, the Wigan manager not happy. 0-0 as Wigan try and come down this left-hand side and give it away. Freeman for Portsmouth, he then gives it away, and then Wigan give it away again. Pinball in midfield, and Pompey have it, and are trying to drive down this right-hand side. Freeman looking for Tunnicliffe, who's had a handball. Morrell picks it up. Morrell goes down, and he will get a free kick for Pompey, 40 yards out right of centre. And there might be a card coming for Wigan here. Wigan coming forward, crossing to the penalty area. It's a good one. A real chance at the far post for Lang. He scored, putting it into the bottom corner through the legs of Sean Williams. And Portsmouth have conceded a goal with just 13 minutes left. A rare foray into their penalty area. And Wigan have punished them. Wigan 1, Portsmouth 0. Curtis miscontrols it. McLean wins it and clears it. And that will be that. Wigan have beaten Portsmouth by a goal to nil. Portsmouth's unbeaten start to the season has come to an end.
For us to be a team that this club deserves, and for us to achieve what everyone associated with this club wants to, we're definitely too official.
The highlights there of Pompey's opening month to the season. August brought 10 points out of a maximum 15 in the league, with the Blues fifth in League One after 5 matches. Joining me over the phone tonight to review the Blues' August shenanigans, first of all, I'm delighted to welcome back Sam Macy. Sam, a very good evening to you.
Good evening, Jake. Always a pleasure to come on.
And alongside you this evening, Sam, welcome back to Matt Corrick. Matt, great to have you with us too, mate.
Yeah, you too, Jake. Thanks for having us.
So unfortunately, fellas, no game to review, no game to preview. You could say it's a pretty long hour to fill tonight. But, you know, we've got a lot to talk about. Tuesday saw the very end of the summer transfer window with deadline day bringing that to a complete close. But of course, we have reached the end of August. We're now into September, Friday the 3rd of September. Pompey aren't playing this weekend. The scheduled game at home to Plymouth Argyle, which had been rearranged to Monday night for Sky Sports viewing, has now been postponed. Plymouth Argyle, but visitors have had a few international call-ups, so that game will now be played on Tuesday, the 21st of September. So just a few weeks' time, which means Pompey completely free of a match this weekend. But before we talk about that, and before we talk about the benefits, the cons, the implications of that rearrangement, Sam, let's first talk about Danny Cowley's opening month to the season in his first full season as Blues head coach. How would you assess what has happened in those opening five matches?
I think if you asked me a week ago, it would have been a little bit more positive. I think the Wigan game was a little bit of a dampener on it, but you can't really complain when it's the first goal you conceded in five games. I think a point was fair for both teams and they sort of caught us sleeping a little bit in defence and then managed to nick 3 points. But yeah, other than that, I think it's been good. I think Tunnicliffe's been excellent in the midfield. Maybe need a little bit more going forward, but I think that'll come with time as we sort of get into the season and the new players sort of adjust and start to gel with that front three, which we know do have goals in it. I think the midfield's a lot better than it was this time last season. I think Tunnicliffe, Williams, Morrell, even Louis Thompson when he's eventually going to come in, I think that's a lot better than what we had. Onwards and upwards, I think it's been a good start. And if we can maintain it and stay fit for the whole season, I think that's a very successful first year for Danny Cowley.
Yeah, not a bad start to the season at all, really, was it, Matt? You know, the opening four matches, four clean sheets, no goals conceded, three wins and a draw, which of course came at the Keepmoat Stadium. A disappointing defeat away to Wigan last weekend, the final of those five league matches in August. You know, not the greatest way to end the month, put a bit of a dampener on what was a pretty decent start to the season. But when you look at it overall, five matches, three wins, one draw and a defeat, one goal conceded. We're in the top six of League One, and considering the calibre of opposition in the division this season, is kind of where you expect, or where you'd at least want Pompey to be come the final day of the season in April.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, Jake, I think if we'd been offered 10 points from the first five games, I think, you know, most Pompey fans would have snapped everyone's hand off for that at the end of the day. You know, it was a new-look team this season. I don't think anyone really knew what to expect, but, you know, big round of applause to the Cowleys and the Eisners for, you know, getting these deals over the line, because you can see the difference from last season. The talent's definitely there. Tunnicliffe's been definitely a top signing so far. Although we sort of, you know, as Sam said, you know, it was a bit of sloppy defending that at the end, you know, we lost us 3 points, but, you know, it was still a good performance. And I think there's a lot to take from the first five games. I think teams are going to start looking at us now actually as, you know, possible, you know, promotion contenders.
Yeah. Jack Hancock on Twitter's got involved tonight. Currently listening to Express FM whilst waiting for my post-vaccine 15-minute wait to end. Could be worse. Thank you, Jack, for tuning in, even if it's just for 15 minutes or so. I hope you're feeling better after your jab, mate. Sam, look, going back to Pompey's defensive display in that opening month, you mentioned about how that Wigan game last weekend, it was quite sloppy. There were sluggish points to that game where you could look at that goal and think that was very, very preventable. But on the whole, how pleased have you been with this new look back four and, of course, the man between the sticks?
Oh, massively. I think, first of all, I just want to say how well Sean Raggett's performed so far this season. I think moving him over to the right-hand side of that central defensive partnership has made him a revelation, I think. Obviously, Watmore played there last season. I think Raggett struggled at times coming in on that left-hand side, and the shift over to the right has been brilliant, and he's looked like a new player completely. I think we all know that he has a lapse in concentration every now and then. I think he's been excellent. I think Bazunu's distribution has been, again, it's just such a big upgrade on McGivory. Like, that's nothing against McGivory, because he was an excellent keeper at the time he was here, but I think you can see that Bazunu plays for Man City just based off the ball at feet. I think Robertson's been excellent at centre half. He's taken over that leadership role left by Tom Naylor very, very well. And I think, to be honest with you, the fullbacks as well, Lee Brown, you know what you're going to get. I'll be interested to see how Connor Ogilvie performs when he eventually gets that chance. He's looked okay so far, but he's not really played many games at left back. Obviously, played that first game at Fleetwood in central midfield. And I think Kieran Freeman's been excellent. And I think it's going to be a really nice battle on that right hand side now that obviously Romeo's coming from Millwall. And I think they've both just got to raise their game to see who gets that starting spot for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Okay, lads, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with even more Blues chat very shortly. After the break, the three of us here and you back to at home too, of course, we'll continue to review Pompey's opening month of the season, as well as move on to discuss the events of the summer transfer window, which saw Danny Cowley bring in 14 new faces to Fratton Park. So stick around and keep it Express FM. The Football Hour returns in just a few moments.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, where I'm tonight joined by Sam Macy and Matt Corrick to discuss Pompey's opening month of the season, as well as to talk about the Blues' summer transfer business. And as always, Blues fans, we're interested to hear your thoughts this evening as well. Text Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Alan Swift has done just that on the emails. Hi, Jake and friends. Well, with 4 goals in 5 games, it's not exactly promotion form. With no new striker signed, only an inexperienced number 10. So where is Danny Cowley's plan B? He says he has. The same front four worries me in that respect, unless he changes the system with 2 up top. Not 4-3-3. For me, it's too narrow, says Alan on the emails, who continues by saying, a compact system I like is the same as we won promotion to the Premier League under Jim Smith and his sidekick, H-something. 3-5-2 worked then, so why not now? It seems he's looking at Ennis Harrison, but where are his goals? Hope lives eternal. Fingers crossed, Alan in Southsea. You can't really disagree with much of that, can you, Matt? Because whilst it's been a great start to the season, we're certainly not getting too ahead of ourselves. But when you look at the chances that Pompey have created going forward in these matches, even the games which we've won against the likes of Fleetwood, Shrewsbury and Crewe, the goals have still come at quite a minimum. And I think we're even the lowest goal scorers in the top half of League One. So whilst the results have been ground out, brilliant, you still worry a little bit about the goals.
Yeah, I mean, of course you do. At the end of the day, you know, you've got to, be scoring goals and finishing teams off. You know, no one wants to keep winning games 1-0. As good as it is with 3 points, I wouldn't really fancy that all season, to be honest with you. But, my one point on this, Jake, actually, is, you know, regardless of Marcus's, I suppose, confidence at the moment and maybe, you know, the lack of goals coming from him, he's still a goal scorer. He still does it every season, you know, and I think under the man management of Cowley, which is obviously a lot different to Jackett, and we all know that, I think, you know, eventually we're going to see the best out of the likes of Marquis. I mean, who even knows, Ellis Harrison might, you know, become a new player under Cowley. We haven't seen that yet, and we haven't had that opportunity yet. So, you know, although, yeah, it is concerning at the moment, I feel like with what we've got, you know, there's still that ability there, and I think it will eventually come. Yeah. This is a whole new squad as well.
We'll come on to the transfer window in just a few moments' time, Sam. But before we do, you know, get your thoughts on that, which side of the fence do you sit on? Are you a little bit concerned about Pompey going into the season, in particular up to January, with the attacking options that we've got? Are you actually a little bit more optimistic that actually, no, Danny Cowley can get the best out of these strikers? It just needs a little bit more time.
I completely agree with Matt, to be honest with you. I think if you give John Marcus a bit of time, he's going to get some goals. He has proven at this level. We might not have seen it yet, but again, like, if you look at how he played at Doncaster, he played in a 4-3-3 with quite narrow wingers feeding him balls along the floor. I think it's going to take time for Cowley's ideas to resonate within this squad. If you bring in 14 new players, it's not going to happen overnight. I think going forward, it's hopefully we're out of that mould which we're in last season, where if we're chasing games, we'll hit the ball long and we'll try and that's not playing to John Marcus's strengths. I think, to be completely honest with you, I think the midfield creativity of Tunnicliffe, Morrell and Williams is going to massively help us. I think getting the ball out wide to Harness and Curtis is going to help us. And to be honest, yeah, I think the goals will come. It just might take a little bit of time. You're never going to complain at a 1-0 win, keeping a clean sheet and getting 3 points. And grinding out results at this stage of the season doesn't bother me too much. It's just when those sort of lower to mid-table teams come to Fratton Park, hopefully that's when we're going to put a few goals past them and get that confidence back.
Yeah. And Matt, of the opening five league matches and, of course, that Carabao Cup first-round defeat at Millwall, have you seen enough from this Danny and Nicky Cowley team, the ideas they're trying to implement, the philosophy, the style of play? Have you seen a definitive improvement from previous campaigns where you're actually confident now that we can withstand the brutal task of a 46 league game season with interruptions in between? Is there that noticeable difference that this Blues team can at least try and handle that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, pre-season, I was saying it myself, you know, I think a lot of people were looking at the departures and thinking, uh-oh, you know, this is going to be a tough, you know, season coming up. I think there was a lot of doubt around, you know, not just, you know, other fans around the league, but also our own fans as well. But you can just see the complete, you know, style of play that we're playing now. It's high pressing, it's fast, you know, we're keeping the ball on the ground. You know, and as Sam said, there's this attacking ability that sort of more so now than often the two holding that we've had in previous systems. So I think, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. I think, as Sam also said, you know, this is going to take time. You know, Cowley's idea is going to take time to implement. Yeah, we're five games in and yeah, I appreciate that, but I think that there's going to be this time to click and, you know, one result or a big result will, you know, possibly do that.
Yeah.
So 100% there's a massive change in the team.
Don't forget to keep your thoughts getting in touch on the socials tonight, Pompey fans. How would you assess Pompey's opening month of the season? Are you happy with the loan signing of Marlon Romeo from Millwall, who we'll come on to in just a few seconds? And with this transfer window now shut, how confident are you of the Blues' chances of going up this season? All the usual ways to get in touch tonight can be found on our website, expressfm.com. So moving on to the transfer window then, lads, and let's go over the players that Danny Cowley has brought to Fratton Park. 14 of them since the end of last season, in the order of which they were signed: Liam Vincent, Clark Robertson, Sean Williams, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Gavin Bazunu, Kieran Freeman, Ghassan Ahadmi, Jaden Reed, Connor Ogilvy, George Hurst, Joe Morrell, Louis Thompson, Miguel Aziz and Marlon Romeo, who joined Pompey on Tuesday night, late Tuesday night, just when it looked like nothing was going to happen on deadline day. The Millwall defender joined the Blues on a season-long loan deal. And we'll talk about him first, shall we, Sam? Marlon Romeo, the 25-year-old right back. He can also play, or he can also act as a right-sided centre-half. It's the position that Danny Cowley outlined at the weekend after the defeat to Wigan that Danny Cowley wanted to strengthen, and he's got his man.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent sign. He's got pedigree in the Championship. He's played over 200 games for Millwall. I think he sort of fell out of favour with their fans at the back end of last season. And to be honest, yeah, I think it's an excellent signing. I think it adds pace, it adds power, and obviously someone playing at a higher level, they're going to be used to Championship attackers coming down to League One. It's only going to help us and benefit us. I think, yeah, as I say, that injection of pace on the right, and it's a very attacking fullback. And hopefully, if he can strike up a partnership on that right hand side with Marcus Harness, we're going to be in good stead for the season. It's an added bonus, obviously, that he can play at right side of centre half. It's almost like the two fullbacks who we've most recently signed. Romeo and Ogilvy, they can both tuck in at centre half, which adds more depth. Obviously, Clark Robertson's injury record's not amazing from his time at Rotherham, and it's just an extra bonus. Even if we did play three at the back, that then allows him to tuck into the right side of centre half and play Kieran Freeman at right wing back. Mm. Yeah, it's only going to help us. It's just an extra player who's got Championship pedigree. Excellent signing, I think.
How difficult, or perhaps how easy, Matt, do you think it's going to be for Marlon Romeo to get into this Pompey side, whether it be imminently at the game on Tuesday night in the Papa John's Trophy at Wimbledon, or perhaps next weekend's league fixture at MK Dons? Do you think it's going to be difficult for Marlon Romeo to overtake Kieran Freeman in that starting 11? Or perhaps do you see him coming in straight at centre-back and challenging the likes of Clark Robertson, who, you know, of course, captain, it's quite unlikely, but he's going to shift. Maybe Sean Raggett?
I mean, I'll be honest, Jake, I think it's going to be difficult for him. I mean, unfortunately, Kieran Freeman, in my opinion, is a great right-back. I think, you know, he came previously on loan when we were, I believe, League 2 days. And, you know, I think there was a bit of an unfair assessment when he joined the club again because of that opinion of his performances with us then. But he's showing his quality, you know, and you can see he's come and he's had experience, you know, with Sheffield United as well. So I can't really see him, you know, being dropped, really, to be honest with you. And as for Raggett, as Sam said earlier in the show, you know, he's been a completely different player this year at times, you know, stopping, you know, almost certain goals. So in my opinion, I think it's going to be difficult for him. I think he's going to be maybe more of a substitution for a little while. I think he's got to really prove his worth. I saw him at the Millwall game. I thought he was really impressive. But I think that he will find it hard because of what he's coming into at the moment.
Yeah. Terry Roberts on Twitter: I think Pompey have made a great start to the season. Just hope we can continue in the same way and get the automatic promotion spots. Terry Roberts on Twitter. And Nigel Rush also on Twitter: very happy, but a centre-back would have been more prudent, perhaps. However, I'm fully behind the Cowleys' brave new world, and I haven't forgotten that it was said that it may take 2 or 3 transfer windows to get things properly sorted. One window down, 2 to go. Play up Pompey. Nigel Rush on Twitter. Sam, yeah, another great point there from Nigel on social media. Danny Carley, he outlined the fact that it's not going to just change overnight. Pompey aren't necessarily going to be the complete package after just one transfer window. And I think a lot of expectation around Fratton Park, a lot of sensible expectation, is that this season may not be the season that Danny Carley takes us up to a championship. Can't necessarily pile all of that pressure onto just one full campaign. Do you see this as a two-year project for Danny and Nicky Cowley, and B, whilst we could have, or perhaps would have liked to have seen a few more faces in different areas before the deadline on Tuesday night, are you still confident that come January and maybe next summer, we will eventually get there and get this team right where we want it to be?
Yeah, for sure. I think whenever a manager comes into a new club, it's not going to be a quick process. I think if you look at the last two managers we've obviously had, I think when Kenny Jackett came in, we finished 8th in our first season in League Two. First season under Paul Cook, I think we finished in the playoffs, and that was the year we lost to Plymouth. Even looking at Danny Cowley's previous track record, his first season in League Two when he took Lincoln up, they finished in the playoffs, and then they won the league the following season, I think. And in regards to signings, I think Cowley said from the outset that it was quality over quantity, and that's a much better approach than a lot of teams in this league. I think it's, if you throw enough mud at a wall, some might stick. That's not the approach which you want to take when you're trying to get out of League One. I think maybe in League Two, that's an approach you can take, but you certainly can't at this level. I think, to be completely honest with you, if it happens this season, amazing. If it doesn't, next season's the year for us. Just try and finish as high as possible, take each game as it comes and see where we end up after 46 games.
Yeah. Taking a look at some of the two other signings then, Matt, and one of the ones I want to mention is Kieran Freeman himself, the man who will be looking to try and keep Marlon Romeo out of the starting 11. He's had a great start to the season, hasn't he? And certainly a much different player to what he used to be when we first saw him at Fratton Park quite a few seasons ago.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, you know, he didn't have a great loan with us when we were in League Two. But, you know, I think at that point he was a young player, you know, sort of trying to get some first team football. Obviously, that wasn't happening at Sheffield United, who were, you know, sort of doing okay at that point. But since then, you know, he's obviously improved, and you can tell he's had that experience with those players. He's just absolutely fantastic. He drives forward, you know, he takes his time with the ball as well, and he picks some great passes. And as far as I'm concerned, I think, you know, having a player like that in the squad is really important. I think we can see the difference this year. I think it's going to help Harness as well improve, and get forward more often as well.
And Sam, you know, whilst it has only been 1 month into the new season, based on what you've seen so far, out of the 14 new names that have come into Fratton Park, who would you say has been your signing of the season so far?
I think the obvious answer is Ryan Tunnicliffe. Mm. I think he's been excellent. He's marshalled the game. He obviously won the award for Player of the Month in League One this month, which got announced in the week. I think Clark Robertson's also been excellent. He's added that leadership into the back four, which we've been lacking. I don't think we've had an out-and-out leader in the back four for seasons. I'm struggling to think of the last player we had who commanded the back four like he does. I don't think there's been a weak link yet. I think Hadmi possibly hasn't lived up to the expectation after pre-season. I'd like to see a bit more from George Hurst as well, but obviously he's only had cameos thus far. I don't think I can fault any of the signings, really. I think none of them have been poor. They all look good on paper, and only time will tell. I just hope that it comes around quicker than taking a bit of time.
Yeah. And Ryan Tunnicliffe, you know, the name that Sam mentions there, Matt, fantastic sign, and what a start to the season he's had as well. We mentioned Kieran Freeman, he's been solid on that right hand side, but Ryan Tunnicliffe pulling all of the strings in that midfield for Pompey, and like Sam said there, the player that Pompey have been missing for quite a few years now.
Yeah, oh, hugely. I mean, it's almost like having a Michael Doyle back in the squad, isn't it? You know, he's just completely marshalling that midfield, he's controlling the game. You can tell, you know, he's come from Man United's academy. He's been there in the Premier League, played for Fulham, you know, great championship experience. And, you know, he hasn't really put a foot wrong for me. And again, you know, much like Freeman, you need this type of player. And we've not had that for a long time, not even with Naylor, you know, who was captain of the side. I mean, Tunnicliffe, for me, is head and shoulders above that. So, you know, it's a huge upgrade for the club. And I think he's really going to take his places.
Yeah. Okay, and late on Tuesday night, Blues right back Haji Manoga signed a new 3-year deal at Fratton Park, with it also being announced that the 19-year-old would join National League outfit Bromley on loan until the end of the season. Haji has been outlining his hopes and what he's been looking to get out of a loan move.
I think it's going to be different from what I've experienced here in terms of the level, but it's something that I'm really looking forward to going and experiencing. And I think that's what is big for me, to get out there, play matches, get experience, make mistakes and learn from the mistakes quickly, because that's what's going to make me a better player at the end of the day.
We'll hear from him very, very soon. Don't go anywhere and join us again for the conclusion of tonight's show. This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Express FM Football Hour. Still to come this evening, we'll be rounding off tonight's discussion and taking a look ahead to the Blues' September schedule. But first, let's hear from Haji Manoga. Max Swatton from the Pompey media team caught up with the Blues right back, first asking how he's feeling about signing a new 3-year deal at the club.
Obviously, it means a lot to me because I've come through the whole academy. I've been there since I was really young, and ever since I was young, I've been always looking to become a professional footballer at this club. So to get the chance to stay here longer at my boyhood club is an honour for me, especially with my family being from around here, from Portsmouth. It's an honour for me.
What was it that made you want to sign this contract?
I think, obviously, with my family being around and coming all the way through the academy, I've always wanted to play for Portsmouth, play for the first team. So I think that was big for me. And I think that's what I'm definitely going to be looking to do, because every time I put the shirt on, I tried to play with pride. I tried to give 110%. And that's all I can do at the end of the day.
And you'll be heading straight on loan to National League side Bromley. How excited are you for that adventure?
I'm really looking forward to it, because obviously it gives me a chance to play. People from Portsmouth to come watch me play and hopefully perform well. And I think that sets me up really well for the next steps of my career.
What kind of lessons are you looking forward to learning in your time there?
I think it's going to be different from what I've experienced here in terms of the level, but it's something that I'm really looking forward to going and experiencing. And I think that's what is big for me, to get out there, play matches, get experience, make mistakes and learn from the mistakes quickly, because that's what's going to make me a better player at the end of the day. And I'm just looking to develop as a player.
And it's a 3-year contract that will see you up to the summer of 2024. What are your aims for that period of time?
Hopefully to be playing in the first team, and it would be ideal for Portsmouth to be back, to be in the Championship, really. So if we're there, then 100% I'll be looking at signing a new contract and pushing to get Portsmouth back to the Premier League.
And where do you see yourself when that time does come?
I feel myself being a lot older, a lot maturer, a more accomplished player. I mean, I'll still be young, but I've always had big dreams and I've always wanted to be very successful. So 100% I want to be a lot better player, even though I'm still young, and definitely playing national football. For me, that's a big goal, but it's something that I want to push for.
Hadji Minogue there speaking about his new 3-year deal, as well as, of course, his loan move to Bromley. Let's bring Sam and Matt back into the conversation then. And Matt, first of all, Hadji Minogue, a new 3-year deal at Fratton Park. The 19-year-old right back, he's been in and around the first team for a handful of seasons now. Great to see one of the academy products sign a long-term contract at the club.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, as you said, he's been around the team now for a couple of seasons. And, you know, I think he's a class act, to be honest with you. I think I can see the potential there in him. I think, you know, under the Cowleys, he's going to have a really progressive career. I was a bit surprised with the move to Bromley. It's no disrespect to them, but I kind of felt like he was ready for maybe some League Two football. I felt like that would have, you know, progressed him, obviously, you know, some more as well. But, you know, it's great that he's got this contract. You know, he can go out and prove himself now, and I'm sure he'll do that. You know, he seems to be a lad with the head on the shoulder as well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see him back soon at the club and have him, you know, battling it out for a right-back position.
A player with a great attitude, a great skill set as well. Sam, we've seen his quality and his promise in flashes throughout the last couple of seasons. Not a player particularly who's been involved in a consistent run in the first team in league matters, but, you know, certainly in trophy games, cup matches, you've seen the potential of Hadji Minogue. And at his age, like Matt said, going down to the National League is probably a little bit too far. He certainly could be playing at least at League Two level. But nonetheless, it's a great time for him to go out, get matches under his belt and get that first team experience that he's, you know, he does desperately need.
Yeah, massively. I think he's incredibly raw. I think the potential's there. You can see he's got all the attributes to be a top-class fullback. I think the only benefit of him going to Bromley that it is only for half a season, what I'm hoping is that he'll get a good run of games under his belt. He'll adapt to the National League and man's football like a duck to water, and then he'll get recalled in January and then he'll be sent out to League Two. That would be the ideal scenario, and then possibly push for a first-team spot next year. I mean, you never know if the loan doesn't go well for Romeo, then he could be coming into the side next year and pushing to start. But as I say, I think it's a great move for him. And I think it just shows how highly rated he is. You don't see many 3-year deals being given out at this level. I think half of our team last year wanted 3-year deals, and that's why we ended up with all of them being released. And I think that just shows how highly he's thought of by the Cowleys and the club. And all the best to him for the first half of this season.
Definitely a player for the future. Hadji Minogue, who a lot of fans are hoping has a Pompey career in the future. Hopefully this loan move will work out for Hadji. And like Sam mentioned there, if halfway through the season he's doing well at Bromley, got no reason to doubt why he wouldn't be. Hopefully Hadji can secure himself a Football League loan towards the tail end of the season, or perhaps, who knows, a place in the Pompey first team itself. And we've highlighted the first month of the season now, Matt. We've spoke about Pompey's transfer business, the ins, the 14 new faces to Fratton Park, Hadji Minogue's new contract, his loan move to Bromley. Let's look forward a little bit now to Pompey's upcoming month. September awaits. We're now on the third of the month, and there are a total of 6 matches to be played in September, the first of which comes up on Tuesday night away to AFC Wimbledon in the Papa John's Trophy. After what, by that point, will be an extended period out of action for Pompey compared to a few other teams in the division due to the international break, do you see this trophy match at Plough Lane acting as sort of a way to get this team back flowing, playing football, perhaps try out a few of the new faces, see how they can fit into this team? Because it goes without saying, the trophy is not our priority, and it is perhaps a match we can experiment with.
Right, so I think in the instance of the Papa John's Trophy, as you say, you know, I don't think the Cowleys are really going to be looking at it much this season. I think it's a big distraction to us. But in terms of the team. I think we're going to see, as you say, some fringe players. I think it's going to be good for the likes of Hurst, maybe, to get 90 minutes under his belt. You know, the likes of Romeo definitely, I think, will come in. You know, and it's going to give these players an opportunity to also impress as well. So, you know, it might show, you know, different opportunities for changes of system as well. You know, players that can come into the team and, you know, make that difference, and maybe, you know, Aziz as well. You know, really looking forward to seeing him. And, you know, I think that's the sort of game that would be, you know, a good start just to get him into the way that Cowley wants to play.
Yeah, I've got a few more emails coming in that I'm going to read out now. Dave Byrne on the emails. Hi guys, an indication of how League One has now become more competitive is given by the number of fixtures now being called off due to international commitments. I think only 3 matches have survived this weekend, which I can't remember being typical of League One. Dave on the emails from List there. Graham Wilkins also on the emails. Happy with the signings the Cowleys have made in the circumstances, what with the money lost the previous season. I believe the best signing is Bazunu, who I think is a breath of fresh air, and Tunnicliffe is a close second. But I think, in all, once this team really gels, it could be a great season ahead. Our midfield is stronger now, and hopefully now the window is shut. Curtis, Marquis and Harrison can concentrate on getting the goals to push us on, and if not, there is always Hurst, who is hungry for games. Graham Wilkins on the emails. And just touching upon that point there, Sam, Curtis, Marquis and Harrison are all linked with moves away from Fratton Park in the summer transfer window. Now that the window is shut, like Graham mentions there, would it be a benefit to Pompey, but now that they can focus on their game and not have to worry about that speculation?
I think so. It's no surprise that when players' futures are being spoken about, they don't perform too well at the beginning of the season. Obviously, Ronnie Curtis and Marcus Hines have scored 1 goal between them in 5 games, I think. They know that that's not up to their usual standards, and hopefully now they're able to just keep their heads down and focus on the football. I think Ellis Harrison's a completely different case. I think obviously he went to Plymouth, and then he was the one who turned the move down because he wants to stay and fight fibrous place in the first team. I think that's amicable from a player who does get a lot of stick on social media from a large majority of the Portsmouth fan base. And I think it's refreshing to see someone who wants to play for the badge, wants to be involved in the first team, and all the best to him this season. I hope that he does get his chance against AFC Wimbledon on Tuesday and takes it with both hands. He does offer us something slightly different off the bench. He's a quite similar player to George Hurst. So it's sort of like the best of the rest in our striking department, because who's going to be the number two behind Marquis? So good luck to Ellis Harrison for the season. Hopefully he can show why we signed him in the first place.
Yeah. And on the subject of Gavin Bazunu and international call-ups and matches this week, congratulations to him. Although the Republic of Ireland were defeated 2-1 in their match against Portugal, Gavin Bazunu pulled off a great save from a penalty spot. Cristiano Ronaldo, none other than CR7, the man taking the spot kick. Gavin Bazunu, whilst being defeated in the match, you know, Matt will take away with great stead, being a 19-year-old, the keeper that he is, with the career that he's had, a very short one so far, to save a penalty from Cristiano Ronaldo is going to give him such high confidence.
Massively, yeah, massively, Jake. I mean, he's already, I think, proven how good of a goalkeeper he is. As Sam said, you know, you don't come from Man City unless you've got something about you. So, you know, I think that's only going to help improve him. And I love the coldness afterwards. He just shrugged it off like it didn't even matter. He just got on with the game, and that just shows his professionalism as well.
Yeah. And looking further ahead into the month of September then, and a week tomorrow, Sam, Pompey's next League One fixture is away to MK Dons at Stadium MK, Saturday the 11th of September, 3 p.m. kickoff up there. So over a week to wait until this next league game, this prolonged period of waiting for that match to come around, whilst we've already mentioned from Dave's email that actually quite a number of these League One matches have been postponed due to international call-ups, is this a chance for Pompey to sit back, start again, reassess their situation after that Wigan defeat, and go again fresh at MK and try and kick on and build that momentum again, Sam?
Yeah, for sure. I think, obviously, we do have a few players that were on international duty, but I think all of the back four are still there, and they're able to sort of work on shape and working on stepping up and dropping deep and things like that. I think that's going to help us massively. Organisation is going to be key. I think the only positive is that the front three, obviously, they know what they're doing. They've played together for a season, so it should be relatively straightforward for them. And as I say, organisation is just going to be key, I think. MK Dons are going to be a big game. They've started the season relatively well, made some good signings. Obviously, Scott Twine, Mo Issa. I think the new manager coming in there has done a good job so far, and it's going to be a tough game because historically we don't travel too well when we go to MK Dons, I think. Remember last season, we obviously lost there, and I think the season before we lost there as well. So hopefully we're able to turn that around and give them a competitive game and hopefully come out with the 3 points.
Yeah, and quite a squad that MK Dons have got now, Matt. I know you're someone who likes to delve a little bit deeper into the opposition. They've had a great transfer window, and many tipping them to be around about, you know, the top half, maybe even pushing for a playoff place at the end of the season. That is going to be a very, very tough return for Pompey to league action.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a huge test. The improvements they've made this season is massive. You know, Issa just alone is 20 goals a season. So, you know, I think, unfortunately for him, he was a little bit outcast last season at Peterborough because of Johnson Clark-Harris. But, you know, I think he's really going to step up his game this season. I think he'll be the light for MK Dons. And, you know, Scott Twine, again, as Sam said, you know, great signing. Really showed himself at Swindon last season. And, you know, also Troy Parrott. I mean, he was meant to be the next, like, massive wonder kid. And you know, he's got that Premier League experience. He played a lot for Spurs. So, you know, it's a lethal forward line that they've got. And, you know, they seem to be scoring a lot of goals. But at the same time, it may be hope for Bombay, they've also conceded as well. So, you know, there's that opportunity to go there and really sort of put a show on, especially with our defensive quality this season.
Mockers on Twitter's got involved tonight. He says Gavin Bazunu and Miguel Aziz could be a big hit on the South Coast this season. Thoughts of Paul Mockers on Twitter there. And looking further into September, Sam, Cambridge United, the next home game for Pompey, Saturday the 18th of September. And the gap between that game against Cambridge and the previous game at Fratton Park, which was against Shrewsbury Town, what was it now, over a week ago. But the gap between those games, 32 days, a long, long wait for Pompey fans to get their football fix on home turf. But given the circumstances of the opening two league fixtures at PO4 with the ticketing issues, we all know what's happened there, the concerns around the capacity and the attendances at Fratton Park, this game at home to Cambridge, can you see it being an even more special occasion than the first two matches at Fratton?
Oh, massively, I think. Obviously, we know how good that first game back with fans was. I think the two games, obviously, last year when it was reduced capacity, I think we won both of them. We struggled a lot last year without having a full Fratton Park at home. And I think it's only going to benefit us this season. I think that Cambridge game is, to be honest, probably the perfect game to come back to after that long. Everyone's going to be up for it. I think Cambridge are probably one of the weakest sides in this league. Obviously, they've lost a lot of players. Well, I say but a lot of players. They've lost their main asset from last season, Paul Mullen. I don't think they're going to fill that void this season. I think they're going to be one of the teams that were in around that bottom four, and it's a pretty perfect game to come back to. Obviously, both myself and Matt have spoken about needing that one game where it all clicks, and I think that is a real opportunity against one of the weaker sides in the league to score a few goals, get 3 points and get everyone ready for the season. I think, yeah, as I say, it's a pretty perfect game to come back to.
Yeah, and looking at a few free agents, Matt, because Pompey can, of course, sign a free agent at any point throughout the season, of course, just because the transfer window is shut doesn't mean that players out of contract cannot join new clubs. And a lot of Pompey fans perhaps calling for a new centre-back, David Luiz, why not? Laiquin Mangala, out of contract, why not? Strikers, maybe. Radamel Falcao, I'm sure he'd come down to Fratton Park and play in League One. Maybe even Carlos Tevez. Certainly some Premier League experience within them. But in all seriousness, Matt, there is still scope for Danny Cowley to add to his squad via the free agent market.
Yeah, I mean, of course there is. And I think on Tuesday was a bit disappointed, as I said earlier in the show, with the lack of forward signing that we made. You know, I think Harrison going, obviously, as Cowley said, would have meant that we would have bought a new number nine in. Unfortunately, I can't see it. I think he came out on Wednesday and said that it was really a case of wages and the space that we've got for that. And it would, we'd have to offload someone to be able to bring anybody in. So I don't know if that's going to happen. As nice as it would be to get the likes of Tenors in, as you said, and all those other players.
Matt, I'm going to have to stop you there because, as you can hear, the music has started. We've reached the end of the show. We've managed to get to a full hour's worth of Pompey discussion with no match to preview, no game to review. We've got there, lads. Thank you both ever so much. First of all, Matt Corrick, thank you for calling in tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure and I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Jake. Thanks a lot for having me.
And to Sam Macy as well. You've been a fantastic guest, as always. Thank you for helping fill this 60-minute slot. Wishing you all the best for the upcoming week. And we hope to hear from you again soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much, Jake.
Matt Corrick and Sam Macy joining me on tonight's show. And thank you, of course, to everybody tuning in from back home, the Pompey fans. You have been absolutely brilliant, as per usual. Coming up here on Express FM, Mason Jordan is back with Express Floor Fillers from 7 p.m. and then we've got nothing but non-stop Express Floor Fillers between 11 and 2 a.m. Adam Jenkins is back with the Weekend Early Riser tomorrow from 5. Saturday Breakfast with Ian McGuinness from 8. And there's no Pompey Live tomorrow afternoon, so the Victory Years with Ian James replaces us at 2 p.m. Until Monday night at 6 o'clock, Pompey fans, have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe and, as always, play out Pompey.